Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, when shots rang out in Las Vegas, 22,000 panicked country music fans sought cover from the hail of bullets coming from automatic weapons from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. As they were running, one man, Taylor Winston, a 29-year-old Marine, commandeered a pickup truck and used that to save at least 20 people. While all have proclaimed him a hero, one man stepped up and has put action to his belief that this young Marine hero deserved more than just the mere words of being called a hero. And I'm talking about Shane Buse. He is the owner of B5 Motors in Phoenix, Arizona. And if you've been paying attention to the news at all in the last 48 hours, you know that he did an incredible thing to underscore just how much he appreciated the actions of Taylor Winston, this young Marine. Now, more on that incredible story in just a moment. But I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I am Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Gary Dahl. And I want to encourage you to stay tuned to the entire program today, as you're going to hear some amazing stories you probably will not hear anywhere else. But first, let's go to this absolutely amazing story of a gift given to an American hero. And here to tell us about it is Shane Buse, owner of B5 Motors in Phoenix, Arizona. Shane, thank you so much. I know you're a busy guy, period, but the last 48 hours has had to be over the top for you. But thank you for carving out time to be on Stand in the Gap today.
Hey, thank you.
I heard about your incredible act of kindness, and I believe it is more than a fitting act. I'm just curious, when you found about what Taylor Winston did and his heroism, what was it specifically about that story that motivated you to do what you did?
There was a couple of things that took off in that story that I heard. I didn't hear about his story for a couple of days after the incident actually happened. And so as I read more, there's two things. One is I put myself in this situation, and many people around me and my neighbors and whatnot, how many people would actually leave under fire and go back into the line of fire to help other people out. Most people would run as far as they possibly could and get away from there. This man, I'm a hero because he ran back in there to help people that were critically injured to get him out of there. So with that split second, probably most of his training is probably what got him thinking that way. And so he ran back there to help people for many, many reasons. One is because he's foremost a selfless person who is not selfish. He's thinking about others. And so by taking that example, I took that I'm a father of four children. So I thought that as a great example for my kids, and this would be a teaching experience that I can do for my children, myself, and hopefully all of us Americans be able to think about the people that were there, think about our neighbors, think about people that are around us that we don't know. We don't know their situation. We also know that, people come from all walks of life. And this person was just an example of what heroism is all about, what America is all about, what we're all about in the basics, and not make it complicated. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where I kind of started leading that way and going that direction. Yeah. And I thought, since I do trucks, I have trucks in my used car dealership, I'm going to give him a truck. It was kind of what he did anyway, is drove in there with a truck. So I thought it kind of went hand in hand. And so I did this mostly all but just to say thank you and to say I appreciate what you did and the example you are to me and my family.
Well, you know, I think that what Taylor did was exceptional, but also what you did was exceptional as well. And you referred to Taylor as being humble and appreciative. But in addition to that, you said this, the reason that you gave your incredible gift, and I quote, "My biggest reason was the example that he showed to myself and my children, and because of his selflessness. He acted so quickly, he ran back there under fire to help the most critically injured people, so I think he needs to be shown to be the hero as an example to America." You just said that, but I wanted to reiterate that. But after you said that, you began to look for him. You didn't know how to reach Taylor, but ultimately you did find him. How did that take place?
So I had my two marketing girls get on social media, and we threw out a social media message asking for help in finding this Great Hero, and we had amazing responses of people from all over. From Colin Kitchener was one of the guys that put posts out. Everybody was kind of throwing it out everywhere, and we ended up getting a actual post back from people saying, "I know him. I know how to get a hold of him. I'll email him. Here's his email." And then shortly, within a few hours, we had a call from his girlfriend that was with him at that night. A couple of his friends called in and said that he'd call us later today. So we kind of waited and waited. We kind of started exchanging emails back and forth with him. And then a day or so later, he actually called in, and we got some kind of logistics kind of figured out of how to get this vehicle to him and get him into Phoenix to present him with this gift that we presented to him.
Friends, you're listening to Shane Buse. He is the owner of B5 Motors in Phoenix, Arizona. And Shane, again, I know everyone has called Taylor Winston a hero, and he is. The Marines typically don't like to be called heroes, but he is a hero nonetheless. But I think what you've done is heroic as well. And I found it interesting. I looked at your website, and I realized that you're a specialty dealership with respect to customized trucks. And the truck that Taylor actually commandeered the evening of the shooting was a Chevrolet, but you gave him a choice of several trucks. And if I saw the report accurately, he chose a Ford. Talk about a little bit about the choices you gave him and why he chose that particular vehicle.
So I gave him some choices. I kind of put a dollar amount of what my gift was giving. And so I wanted him to have a vehicle that he wanted to keep for, you know, a length of time. And so he chose the F-150 truck we had, custom wheels on it.
My truck.
Silver. And it's, you know, it's very well decked out. It's got LED lights on it. It's one that he wanted. And so he picked it. And I said, thanks for coming. And thanks for all you do. And thanks for the example you are to us. And I presented him with the keys and the truck. He drove off in it.
It's an incredible story, Shane. And anytime someone does something like this, we not only want to express our appreciation to you personally, but we want our listening audience, which is literally around the nation on excess of 450 stations nationwide, we want them to know how they can get a hold of you, because we no doubt have some listeners that may be looking for a specialty type truck. And if they wanted to contact you, how would they go about doing that? If you could give us maybe phone number, email address, website address, those kind of things, boy, that'd be great.
Yeah, so the best way to get a hold of us is at b5motors.com. So it's B as in boy, the number 5, and then motors.com. The email for me is shane@b5motors.com. And our phone number is 480-550-8305. And we ship nationwide, so anybody in the country can buy a vehicle from us, and we'll send it out to them.
Well, friends, again, you've been listening to Shane Buse at B5 Motors. And Shane, thank you so much for being on with us. And by the way, friends, we're going to mention that contact information several more times throughout the program. But we want you to come back in the next segment. We're going to go to the polar opposite of what you've just heard. It's a troubling story of a man who could learn a lot from men like Marine Corps hero Taylor Winston and Shane Buse. Don't miss this story coming up.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. In our last segment, we spoke with Shane Buse of B5 Motors in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know about you, but a story like that just moves my heart. Here is a guy who has a used car dealership. He specializes in pickup trucks, specialty conversion type pickup trucks. And if you've not yet been to his website, I want to encourage you to do so. It's simply B, the letter B, 5, the number 5, motors.com. Take a look at the inventory he has. It's quite an arrayed inventory, cars and trucks, but he specializes in these pickup trucks. And he gave one of those customized type trucks to Taylor Winston, this incredible young Marine, 29 years of age, who acted so heroically out in Las Vegas at a moment of crisis. And Gary, I don't know about you, but anytime someone like that, like Shane, does what he did to support Taylor in light of what he so heroically did, this, Gary, is the best of America. And men like this need not only our encouragement, our incredible gratitude, but they need our support as well.
They do. And I would encourage people to do two things. Number one, call them and thank them. And number two, if you're looking for a truck or a vehicle, maybe they can help you out, simply because he said that they deliver all across the country and they've got a great website. Their phone number, Dave, is area code 480-550-8305. And I've already been looking at a Ford F-150 pickup.
Well,
don't
Gary,
know if I'm
going to
buy it today or not, but I'm looking at it.
Well, I know you're a Chevy guy, and it's interesting. The truck that Taylor Winston commandeered was the Chevrolet. The truck he chose was a Ford. And you know, I'm a Ford guy. So, Gary, I don't know what that says, but just maybe that great minds like Taylor, Shane, myself, maybe we think alike. I'm not sure. But anyway, friends, in all seriousness, that number again, if you'd like to call and thank B5 Motors and thank Shane, the owner, you can call at 480-550-8305. Let me repeat that, 480-550-8305. The web address is B, the letter B, the number 5, Motors, B5Motors.com. And they're in Gilbert, Arizona, which is a suburb of Phoenix. And wow, what a great inventory of vehicles they have. Please at least thank them. And if you are looking for a vehicle, boy, it'd be a great place for you to go. Gary, this story that we're talking about, I hate to move off of it, but it is in direct juxtaposition to what I want to talk about right now. And that is, do you remember back during the 2016 general election campaign how Hillary Clinton incessantly brought up, as did many in her party, the past actions of Donald Trump, how his comments caught by an Access Hollywood reporter were played over and over again. Hillary made incessant comments about them. Well, evidently, Hillary Clinton is very selective about her outrage over inappropriate actions among men. And I'm not talking about her husband's actions, though we could talk about that. I'm talking about the connections that she, her husband Bill, both Barack and Michelle Obama have with millionaire movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. Well, Weinstein, who was fired from his own company Sunday as the result of sexual misconduct allegations dating back decades, is in a whole lot more hot water today. But here's the problem. He hosted two Hillary Clinton fundraisers just during the last election alone. This Weinstein fella, producer, movie mogul, used his connections to the wealthy in Hollywood and in New York to raise more than $100,000 as well for Barack Obama and the Clintons, and all of this since 1995. And there are some reports also that indicate that he may have given as much as $1 million to the Clinton Foundation. So finally, Gary, after 5 days of stunning silence, Hillary has finally spoken out with respect to Harvey Weinstein. And yesterday she decried Weinstein's actions and his behavior, stating it, quote, cannot be tolerated. But neither she nor the Obamas have revealed any plans whatsoever to return the money that was donated to them or to give the money to charity, which is what New York Senator Chuck Schumer did with some money given to him by Harvey Weinstein. So, Gary, that brings up this question, this kind of selective outrage, this phony anger that Hillary expressed during the campaign in 2016 over sexual misconduct. The hypocrisy is once again on display. And this is the very stuff, to be perfectly frank, that makes not only me sick, but it angers the American people. Gary, I want to ask you this. What does this say about not only the Clintons and the Obamas, but what does this say about the process whereby our politicians are elected that this kind of money coming from just perverts, which is really what Harvey Weinstein is, how that money just blinds politicians and keeps them from speaking the truth.
Well, certainly, first of all, it shows you that some of these politicians can be bought, and there's no doubt about it. But I'm certain that if we were to really look into Hillary and Bill Clinton's background and could find the truth, we would find that they've been probably bought over and over and over again. But then, obviously, it shows us a double standard. And what I mean by that is that perhaps Hillary Clinton did not know Weinstein's type of life or the character that he was, but she should have come out sooner. Barack Obama should have come out sooner. I understand that he just recently come out. I saw a statement that he gave just before I came into the studio. But this type of a thing needs to be dealt with soon, on the immediate, and very, very clear. One of the things that concerns me is even the way that the drive-by media refers or handled this situation, I should say. I found out that NBC had this story as far back as the month of August, but they decided not to bring it out because it sort of didn't meet their standard. Now, I don't know what that means, but the fact of the matter is it was there, it was hidden, and you know that if this was Mike Pence or if it was Donald Trump or anybody else who's a conservative or a Republican, it would have all of a sudden met up to NBC standard. It would have been out there. It all shows hypocrisy, both in politics as well as in the media today.
Well, Gary, it does. And there was one very memorable event in 2012 at Weinstein's Oceanfront Estate in Connecticut, where he teamed up with Vogue magazine editor for a $35,000 a plate fundraiser. And at that fundraiser, Harvey Weinstein said this, respect to President Obama. He said, fighting for Planned Parenthood and protecting women's rights, this president has fought the good fight. And then he went on and said this, you can make the case that he, President Obama, is the Paul Newman of American presidents.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I mean, you know, forgive me. This is just over the top stuff. And of course, this guy's actions with respect to women has been known for what some are saying is decades. In fact, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, during one of the award ceremonies, Seth MacFarlane made a joke as he was going through four women who were up for an award, I think for the top female actress award or female actor award. And at the end of mentioning the four women's names, he said, I guess now you can no longer have to pretend that you're attracted to Harvey Weinstein. And of course, there is kind of uncomfortable laughter throughout the venue. And so this guy was well known in Hollywood. And the fact that the Clintons, who were so closely tied to Hollywood, the Obamas, who were so closely tied to Hollywood, had to have heard some of these rumors. They had to have known something about it. And yet, until they're pressed on it, because this information is now coming out in torrents, finally they issue statements and separate, try to separate themselves somewhat from this pervert. Let me ask you this, Gary. Do you think this long-term is going to have any kind of effect on Hillary, Bill, their legacy, or will their defenders, as well as the defenders of the Obamas, just overlook this, ignore it, and the blatant hypocrisy continue?
Well, unfortunately, I doubt that it'll have any long-term effect on their legacy. But but the question that comes to my mind is, I wonder if Bill Clinton is nervous.
Yeah, good question.
Just asking, Dave, just asking. But, you know, no matter what comes out on those people, their supporters are their defenders, and this is not going to have any type of a long-term effect upon them at all. It'll be interesting to see how they address it as we go on from this particular point. But it's not going to touch either Barack Obama or the Clintons, I guarantee you.
Well, Gary, I tend to agree with you. Let me ask you this, and we have just about 40 seconds, so if you can answer quickly, what kind of person is it that can be so conscienceless and so hypocritical that they can point out the foibles in one person while glaringly ignoring even worse actions in someone who's giving them money?
Well, certainly it shows the wickedness of their heart. And, you know, the Bible tells us that the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. And it shows their total depravity. But it also shows a great flaw in their character. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, as we study the scripture, we are to have upright character. And even people who don't know the Lord Jesus should have a character that is steadfast. Well, this type of a thing that we are talking about here shows that certainly Weinstein did not have a steadfast character, although it might be steadfastly wrong. But it also shows the kind of character of others who would have been his supporters down through the years, some of whom, from what I'm gathering, sort of had an indication down through the years, and we're talking about decades, that Weinstein was quite a questionable and shady character himself.
Well, Gary, I don't think you could have said it any better. Harvey Weinstein doesn't have character. He is one, and an evil one at that. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more coming out about this. We'll share it with you as it comes. But friends, when we come back, President Trump has a major decision to make, and time is running out for him to make it. What's that all about? Don't miss this topic of discussion when we come back on Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Donald Trump is expected this week to decertify the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, also known as JCPOA, better known simply as just the Iran deal, declaring that the agreement reached in 2015 by the United States and five other international powers is not in America's national interest. The matter will then be tossed back to Congress, which will have approximately 60 days to decide whether to reimpose hefty pre-2015 sanctions. Now, while the president's likely move has generated wide condemnation from foreign leaders, because they reiterate that the United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Agency, the IAEA, or the International Atomic Energy Agency, has maintained Iran is in compliance, there is a new 52-page investigative report by the National Council of Resistance of Iran, and the report is entitled Iran's Nuclear Core Uninspected Military Sites. And it is has been released today, and it asserts that the country's nuclear weapons program has far from halted. And it's been known for years that Iran has two nuclear programs. One is a civilian program. The other is a military program. And the civilian sector of a nuclear program has systematically provided what many believe is a plausible logistical cover for their military efforts. And so the military aspect of the program has been and remains at the heart of Iran's nuclear activity. So in other words, what's going on is their civilian program is a cover. And what is allowed to be seen, inspected, analyzed by the IAEA is their civilian component, but their military component, which is the one the world should be concerned about, is getting no inspections. It's getting no attention whatsoever. Gary, I'm curious. While no one fully knows what the president's going to do, obviously, yesterday, former UN Secretary John Bolton stated that he expects President Trump to declare it, quote, not in the best interest of the United States, but to stay in the deal. Advice to stay in certainly is coming from most of the president's advisors, which, to be honest with you, I don't fully understand why they would do that. But if we do stay in this deal, Gary, what would that say to this nation, the ones who have heard the president say, you know, this is the worst deal ever? You know, why did President Obama sign on to it? What would it say to this nation? And then perhaps more importantly, what would it say to Iran?
Well, first of all, let me answer that question, and then I'll ask you a question. And I think that the president better state that he's going to move away from it 100%. I mean, he's the one who said it's the worst deal he's ever seen. And, you know, it appears as though many people believe that. Of course, the report, as you implied, has come out that to a certain degree, Iran has been going along with the stipulations that has been put to them. But I believe that that's a complete cover-up. That's no doubt the military side of it. And so I think that Donald Trump better follow through. I would encourage him to follow through. I would ask him to follow through and keep his word. You know, we've talked about this before, how that it's very concerning to some of us about the type of information that's being given to Donald Trump with his advisors. Some of those advisors are people who really do have roots in the swamp, as it were, and he needs to listen, in my opinion, to those advisors who have no roots in the swamp so that he might more effectively provide for and protect the United States of America. I pray that he will completely separate himself from it, pull us out of it, and go on to making another deal. But the question that I have for you is this. Talk about the fact that Iran has two particular programs. One is civilian and the other is the military. Do you think that when it's all said and done, that the civilian program is designed by Iran to kill civilians and the military program is designed by Iran to kill the military of the world? You know, you never know what they're up to. But that was just a thought that came to my mind as you were talking about it a moment ago. I say that rather facetiously, but sure. You never know.
Well, Gary, you know, again, I think what everybody is saying, and if you've read any of the 52-page investigative report, which I have, it's very troubling, you know, the accusations that are being leveled against the government of Iran. I think basically what everybody is saying is the civilian program is just a cover. It's the part that's, you know, access is allowed to it. But the real sinister program is the one that is being conducted that's called the military component or the military program. Gary, let me go here. And before I go this direction, I just want to say something to the president of the United States. And I want to say it unequivocally. I agree with what Gary Dull has just said. Mr. President, we're calling on you to thoroughly decertify this Iran nuclear deal to get out of it. It is overwhelmingly bad for the United States of America. You campaigned on that for a lot of reasons, that being one of the chief ones. The American people voted for you on November 8 of 2016. And you have followed through on so many of your campaign promises already. So we're calling on you to follow through on this one as well and get out of the deal. And another reason why I'm noting this and calling on the president to do this, ladies and gentlemen, is because of what happened in 1980. Gary, you will remember this. I started following the political scene very, very clearly and thoroughly, carefully in 1980. And I'll never forget on Inauguration Day in 1981 when Ronald Reagan was sitting in the reviewing stand out in front of the White House and the parade was coming by. A parade float carrying a significant number of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir was pulled up in front of the reviewing stand, and they began this incredibly stirring rendition of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. During that rendition, President Reagan stood to his feet. He's wearing his tux for the day. I mean, just looks impeccably dressed. Nancy is there with him, the Reagan family. And as this stirring rendition of the Battle Hymn of the Republic is sung, you can see tears coming down President Reagan's face. You can see that he is stirred. He is moved in his soul by the beauty of the song and the appropriateness and fittingness of it at that particular time. And it was at that moment that the hostages that had been held by Iran at that time for months, well over a year, those hostages were released. And Gary, they were released because they understood there's a new sheriff in town in the United States of America. His name's Ronald Reagan. He is known for riding on horseback with a cowboy hat. They may have viewed him as a different kind of cowboy, one they needed to take seriously because they did take him seriously. And I think we need the same kind of leadership today with respect to this Iranian nuclear deal. And that's why I'm calling on President Trump to get us out of it. Your thoughts?
Well, Dave, I agree with you 100%, and I am going to second your motion on asking the president to get out of the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. And I will say it this way, Mr. President, get out of the JCPOA quickly, clearly, and totally without any strings attached. And we talked about this back yonder, Dave, whenever Barack Obama was talking about making this deal. And we always felt as though that it was weak and that in the long run, it would not keep Iran from having atomic weapons and nuclear weapons. And certainly, I don't think that the deal has gotten any stronger. I think it's very weak. I think it's not in the good interest of not only the United States of America, but the rest of the world. And I agree with you that Donald Trump right now needs to take a stand. I think if he does not pull out of this quickly, clearly, and totally, he's lost some credibility. He's lost a lot of credibility because he said over and over again that this is the worst deal that's ever been made. It's the worst deal he's ever seen. And I just hope and pray that the right information gets to him, that the right advisors will say to him, pull out quickly, clearly, and totally, Mr. President, and start over again from scratch, because we cannot trust the Iranians. We can't trust them any further than we can throw them. And I think he knows that. I think he understands that. The problem of it is, Dave, is that the pressure of some of these folks who give counsel and direction in the White House is very, very, very strong. And so we need to pray, and we need to ask God to give Donald Trump the wisdom to pull out of this deal lock, stock, and barrel quickly, clearly, and totally without any strings attached.
Gary, I agree with you. And friends, I want to implore you, do exactly what Gary just said, and that is pray diligently about this. The president needs not man's wisdom with respect to all the decisions he makes, but especially this one, he needs God's wisdom. And I don't think it could have been stated any more emphatically and certainly any more accurately. The Iranians are not to be trusted. The fact that the store was given away, and that is the phrase we used when this deal was negotiated back in 2015 by basically Barack Obama himself. And we questioned even whether or not he had the authority to do that.
That's right.
In essence, this is a treaty. And a treaty requires, you know, a vote of the Senate to make it legitimate, make it legal, if you will. So we question whether or not the president even had the authority to do what he did. And on top of that is the horrible nature of the aspects of the deal. So we need to pray and pray diligently. The president will listen to sound advice. And Gary, I'm going to make a prediction here. I hope I'm right on this. If I'm wrong, obviously, I'll be wrong, but I think the president may step up to the plate and may pull out of this altogether, despite what some of those that are his advisors, whom he respects greatly, these military guys, he values their opinion. But I have an idea he's going to pull out of it, and the decertification is going to be complete. We need to pray to that end. Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to tie all of this together in our solution segment. Don't miss it. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Join us after this brief break.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it appears as if one of the two Nevada area homes of Las Vegas shooter Stephen Paddock was actually burglarized last weekend in a stunning, I mean, it can only be described as a stunning security breach. And it comes as state and federal authorities are telling us that they're still sweeping this home as well as his Mesquite, Nevada home for additional clues. Now, the one that was burglarized was the one that authorities stormed on October 3rd, 2 days after Paddock killed 58 people, firing down on them, of course, as you well know, from the 32nd floor of his Mandalay Bay Resort hotel room. And in this home that was burglarized this past weekend, officials found on October 3rd, 5 handguns, 2 shotguns, several electronic devices, and what they described as a plethora of ammunition. Well, this home has been burglarized. Now, Gary, forgive me here, but I don't get this. When you've got what is considered part of a crime scene, part of an investigation that is ongoing, and we're talking about both of the homes, the one in Reno and the one in Mesquite. The one in Mesquite probably has gotten more attention, but this home in Reno is described as a retirement home. But from what we are learning, the burglar broke through the front door of the home. Now, how in the world, if that is part of a crime scene and an ongoing investigation, can someone burglarize that? I mean, I don't know the answer to this. I'm just asking, who is it that is slated with the task of protecting that portion of the crime scene and that portion of this ongoing investigation? Is that the FBI? Is it local law enforcement? I don't know. But how does someone burglarize and break in to a house like that? Now, what authorities are saying is, at this point, there was nothing stolen. They don't know of anything that was taken. But Gary, I cannot help but wonder if, again, you know, you hate to think in this mindset, but I can't help but think, but wonder if that crime scene has now been compromised and that some things that may be ultimately reported that were found there, such as something that would link him to international terrorism, something that would tie him to an organized ideological effort with respect to why he did what he did with his shooting rampage. The claim can now be leveled, well, you know, the crime scene was compromised. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, let me say it sounds fishy, fishy, fishy. And I think that the question that we need to ask is, who authorized the burglar to burglarize the place? What I'm saying is, I'm wondering if the FBI might not be behind the fact that it was burglarized. Understand what I'm saying?
Well, Gary, that's where I'm coming from. You know, again, you know, you protect a crime scene, you protect a part of an investigation. And if any of it's compromised, then anything that's located there, found there, discovered there is generally not admissible as far as evidence in building a case.
Right.
And what we're trying to do here is locate motives. So, again, I know where you're going.
And I go back to this statement that I asked John Guandalo the other day. And that is the FBI trying to guard themselves, trying to cover something up? You know, the FBI has done that down through the years, David. I mean, you know, we can talk about that for a long, long time. And so, you know, if they themselves or if some other civil authorities called for, directed, allowed, whatever the case may be, that home to be burglarized, then they could come along and say, well, you know, we really can't get the full story out of it because it has been compromised. And so I can't figure it out at all. If that home was being properly guarded by the proper people, who in the world would have the ability to go in there and burglarize it unless they've been commissioned to do so? And that's why I asked that question, who was authorized to conduct the burglary? And, you know, I'm just speculating here and we're just throwing things out. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, as we've talked before about the fact that there may be things being withheld from us by the FBI and other civil authorities on what's taking place or has taken place over there in Las Vegas, it would not surprise me to find out that the authorities burglarized it themselves.
Well, Gary, obviously we don't know what happened fully. We don't know who the burglar was. We don't know if it was allowed or tolerated, permitted, whatever word we want to use. But here's the part that's so troubling. The authorities there in Las Vegas made it very clear that they're going back through the crime scenes. They're going back through these homes to resurvey what was there in order to see if they've missed something in this effort, this ongoing effort to try to locate a motive for what Stephen Paddock did. Now, that would tell me this. If they're going back through the scenes, it means those scenes have been guarded so that nothing was damaged, moved, altered, so they could go back through them and try to ascertain if they missed something. So the fact that this now has occurred means that somewhere along the line, there was a colossal failure. A security breach maybe doesn't come close to describing what this is for somebody to, as it were, get past the police to get in there. And of course, now, you know, the crime scene has been compromised. So what does that mean? And of course, ladies and gentlemen, all this comes as the police chief there in Las Vegas, and we're not condemning him at all. I think he's a good man. But what he's saying is this: they have now made contact with all of Paddock's family tree. That is the term that Sheriff Lombardo used, including his two ex-wives. And then he went on and said this: we may never know all of the motives of the shooter, all these things that you would expect to find. In this case, we have found none. In other words, we found none of the things you would typically expect to find in a shooting situation like this. Again, that leaves us with no further information than we've known up to this point as far as motive. And then there has been an autopsy conducted on Stephen Paddock's brain, and that autopsy yielded nothing unusual. So, Gary, here we are. We're almost approaching now, a week and a half removed. We know nothing more. And then we have, you know, a breach of security at one of the crime scenes. I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't either. I mean, you know, 10 days out, you would think that there would be information starting to filter out about certain things that they have found, or as it relates to the motive or what was behind this entire thing. And it's just been nothing, which again, and I'm not a conspiracist, Dave. In fact, I don't like conspiracies. I don't like to go down that road and, you know, because they sometimes sort of lead us in the wrong way. But as we've talked on this program before, for one man to do all that he did, to kill all those people with all of that equipment, with all of the planning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, doesn't make any sense. And now that one of his houses has been burglarized when it should have been under guard, doesn't make any sense. And I think there's a whole lot more there than what beholds the eye right now, which is really nothing other than the fact that he killed these people. Whether we ever will find out the whole truth and nothing but the truth about it, I do not know. But, you know, we sure do need to pray that the truth will come out.
Well, Gary, I'm going to ask you to do precisely that. The scripture says you should know the truth and the truth shall set you free. We referred to that yesterday. I'm going to refer to it again, because what we need to know at all times is the truth. But what the American people need to know with respect to this horrific incident, the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, we need to know the truth about this, and so we need to pray that the truth is revealed. So, Gary, if you would quickly take us to God's throne of grace.
And, Lord, I say yea and amen to that. We know that the truth always brings that freedom because it brings truth. And so I pray that the truth of this will come out and come out accurately and soon. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Friends, we pray for the truth to be revealed. We encourage you, as we encourage ourselves, to live the truth and to stand for the truth. And so you stand for the truth where you are today, and then 23 hours from now, you be right back by your radio or your computer to join us for our next installment of Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.